Okay. Good evening and welcome back. We had a little bit of a hiatus, you know, for Pesach prep and then Pesach. I wanted to, you know, welcome everybody back. I realize it's a little bit later, so Bez Hashem, I'm just going to try to talk faster so we can try to get more into the time that we have. Tonight we're going to take a look at Kapitel Lamed Tes, chapter 39. What's that? That's the Lamed Tes, yeah. Time flies when you're having fun.
Yeah. We are having fun.
So, again, as we typically do, I'm going to go through the Kapitel first just with the translation, and then share what I think is going on over here in broader terms in this Kapitel Tehillim. It's one that I think, unfortunately, is something that many of us can relate to on many levels. I'll explain why unfortunately when we get through it. And I think it's something that speaks very much to the condition that a condition which is part of the human condition. Lam natzeach li dusun. Mizmar LeDavid. What's that? 39. It's page Nun. What's that? Page 50. Right. Okay. All right. We'll take it from the top. Mizmar LeDavid, right, for the choir master, for Yedusun, a psalm of David. Now, so the first question is, who's Yedusun? So it's not clear that the answer that the right. Well, it's not clear that the question should be who's Yedusun. It could be is what's Yedusun. Some of the Mefarshim explain over here that Yedusun is the name of a musical instrument, just like we've had Lamatzeach al Hashminis, Al Hanechilos, all different types of musical instruments that were mentioned before. So perhaps this is a psalm that was composed for the choir master to be played on the Yedusun. You ask me, what's the Yedusun? That I don't know, right? But we don't have it, right? But that's one interpretation, that the Yedusun is actually a musical instrument. However, most of the Mefarshim understand that Yedusun is a name. And the reason they understand that Yedusun is a name is because Yedusun is a name which is actually mentioned elsewhere in Tanakh, in Divrei Hayamim, where it describes the names of the various different Levim. And remember, the Levim were in charge of Shira in the Mishkan and later in the Beis HaMikdash. So it lists that one of the Levim was Yedusun, and he had a family of Levim who were the family of Yedusun. So most Mefarshim understand over here that this is a psalm, a Kapitel Tehillim, that was written by David, but had something to do for Yedusun. Now, of course, that begs explanation. Yedusun didn't write this, because after all, it says Mizmor LeDavid. David wrote this. So what connection does Yedusun have to this Kapitel Tehillim? Well, one explanation is that it was written by David for Yedusun and his descendants to sing in the Beis HaMikdash. That's also a difficult explanation. Vasepis Yedusun. In other words, why? Okay, there are a whole bunch of Levim. Why should Yedusun and his family be singled out to be the ones to sing this Kapitel Tehillim in particular? So I'm going to leave that question hanging until we get to the end of the Kapitel. And based on the content of the Kapitel, we'll come back and suggest what Yedusun, if Yedusun is indeed a person and not a musical instrument, what connection he has to this chapter of Tehillim.
Isn't he mentioned before Yedusun?
Not in Tehillim. He's mentioned later on in Tehillim.
Later on in Tehillim.
But this is the first time in Tehillim we're encountering him. If indeed it is a him, as opposed to an it. Right. Yeah. Right. So this is an example of a kriyuk siv, which means that when it's written Yedusun. And when it's read, at least by Litvaks, it's read as Yedusun, right? I guess the Chassidim read it Yedusun either way, right? Yedusun either way. But Right, so you read the big one. In other words,
it sounds like an.
Yeah. Okay. So that was it was worth coming just for that. You know that. Right. Right, but there's no second Dalet, so it's not related to Yadid.
Right,
something like that. So let's take a look at the content of the capital, and then we'll try to get a sense of who Yedusun, why Yedusun, what Yedusun, and how he comes in to this capital Tehillim. Amarati, I said, says the author of this capital Tehillim, maybe David HaMelech, Eshmero Durachai Mechato Vilushoni. I'm going to carefully guard my paths from sinning with my tongue. Eshmera lefi machson. I will put a muzzle on my mouth. The program of machson lefi to this day is a popular program to encourage vigilance against speaking lashon hara. Right. So the phrase machson lefi is borrowed from this pasuk in Tehillim. I will put a muzzle on my mouth, be'od rasha l'negdi, as long as the rasha stands opposite me. Ne'elamti dumiya, I have become mute and do not speak. Hechasheisi mitov, I am so silent, I don't even say good things. Uche'evi ne'ekar, and my pain burns up inside me. It exhausts me. Cham libi bekirbi. My heart is hot inside me. Bahagigi sivar esh. When I speak, fire burns. Dibarti belashoni. When I speak with my tongue. Hodiei Hashem kitzi. God inform me of my end. Umidas yomai mahi. And tell me the length of my days. What is it? Eda mechodel ani, and let me know how mortal I am. Hine, behold, tfachos nosata yomai. You've made my days measurable in hand breaths. The word tfachos over here is related to a word which may be familiar to us from halachic context. The idea of a tefach. A tefach is a hand breath and is a measurement which is used in halacha in many, many situations. So the idea of measuring something by hand breaths implies that it's not very big, right? In other words, something which you can measure in a bunch of hand breaths is obviously pretty small. You wouldn't measure a building in hand breaths. You would measure the length of a table, you know, the size of a small fence or something like that in hand breaths. So when David says, Tfachos nosata yomai, you've made the length of my days, the number of days of my life, tfachos, you've made them measurable by hand breaths, it means my days are numbered. I mean, essentially, that's how we would say it in modern-day English. My days are numbered. And my body is like nothing before you. Ach kol hevel kol adam nitzav sela. Indeed, all of man is all like hevel, which hevel we know from Koheles. Hevel literally means vapor, right? Just like vapor is nothingness. All of man is ultimately like vapor, like nothingness. Man is passing. Man is not permanent. Nitzav, and it stands, meaning this is a truism of life. Sela, forever and ever. Ach b'tselem yishalech ish. Indeed, man walks in a tselem. Now, Tselem, we know, Tselem Elokim, the image of God, right? And the Malbim here interprets this pasuk in a very positive light. Man walks in a way that is reminiscent of the image of God. Ach b'tselem yishalech ish. When a man walks around, he should know that he's an image of God. A very, very positive kind of message. Most Mefarshim understand that the intent of this phrase is actually a very sort of negative and pessimistic image. Man walks in a tselem. They say the word tselem is related to the word salmoves, which means darkness. Gam ki eilech begeit salmoves lo irara, the famous pasuk from Tehillim Chav Gimel. Ach b'tselem yishalech ish. Man walks around in darkness. Now, so how does the word, by the way, how does the word Selem, you know, the way we know it as image, relate to Tzalmoves, you know, darkness? So the author of the Das Mikra commentary on Tehillah makes the following very beautiful observation. He says, Tzelem really means a shadow. And if you think about it, that works well in Tzalmoves, you know, when I walk in shadow, right? It also explains very well the notion of Tzelem Elokim. We are the shadow of God. If we're made in the image of God, an image is an imprint. In other words, an image is a replica, a facsimile of the original. I mean, think about a Xerox machine, right? The Tzelem is the shadow that's cast. Literally, that's how you make I have really no idea how it works. You stick in whatever you stick in and then out it comes, right? But I think the way it works is that basically it creates a shadow. In other words, however it shines the light inside the machine, so that, you know, creates a shadow, which then creates a shadowy imprint of the original. We are the Tzelem Elokim in the sense that we're obviously not the real thing. We're not, you know, Chalila, the Ribbono Shel Olam himself. We're a shadow. We're a Xerox copy, at best, you know, of certain attributes that the Ribbono Shel Olam has. So, Ach B'Tzelem Yishalech Ish. Man walks around in shadow, in darkness. Even the form that we have is really just a passing shadow. Ach Hevel Yehemayun. Yehemayun means to make a lot of noise, to make a lot of tumult. All the tumult that we make in this world is hevel, is vapor, is passing, it's going to disappear. Yitzbor, man gathers things in this world, v'lo yeda mi osfam, and he doesn't know in the end who's going to collect all of those things that he gathers. After he goes on and leaves this world, you know, his stamp collection, his snail collection, anything that he had, it doesn't go with him. V'ato. So now, in light of all of this, makivisi, what do I put my hope in? Adokoi, in God. Tochalti, my hope and my expectations. L'chahi, they are for you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You know, this world and what happens in this world is futile, it's passing, it's vapor. You know, our days here are numbered, they're like shadows. I put my trust in you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's my ultimate hope. Michop Sha'ai, from all of my sins, Hatsileni, save me. Cherpas Naval Al Tisimeni, don't subject me to the scoffing and to the degradation of a lowly person. Right? Either lowly person, people shouldn't degrade me, or I shouldn't be degraded as if I was a lowly person. Ne'elamti, I have been silent. Lo eftachpi, I can't open my mouth. Ki ato osisa, because it is you who have done this. Now again, it's not clear what this is. Hoser me'olai nig'echa, remove the illness from on top of me. Mitigras yodcha, from the war that's being made with your hand. Ani cholisi. I have been brought to the end. I've been used up from all of the war which you have waged against me. B'sochachos al avon, with chastisements for sin. Yisarto ish, you have chastised a person, myself. You've chastised me with very difficult things. Vatemes ka'osh chamudo, and that which was beloved has melted away as if by a moth. Right? Let's just explain each word in its own right. Osh is a moth. Right? When a moth eats stuff up. Temes means is the verb over here. It means for something to fall apart, to melt, you know, to be ripped to shreds. And chamudo, from the word chomed, is something which is desirable, right? The imagery which David Amel says over here is as follows: that which is desirable and beloved by me is my body. My body is being ripped apart as if a moth was eating it up. That's the imagery which he draws. You know, the clothing which is hanging in the closet. And, you know, you didn't put mothballs in the closet, you come back and the clothes are all eaten up by moths. That's what's happening to my body, says David HaMelech. Ach hevel kol adam. And I recognize that all of mankind is ultimately a passing vapor. Selah. Shimo tfilosi Hashem. Hashem, listen to my tefillah. V'shavosi hazina. And listen to my cries. El dimosi al techerash. Don't be silent at my tears. Ki ger anochi imach. Because I know that ultimately I'm a foreigner with you in this world. Toshav kichol avosai. I'm just a passerby, like all of my forefathers. The use of ger v'toshav over here implies somebody who's not a naturalized citizen. Now we use ger in the sense of a convert, but ger in its original context just means a stranger, somebody who's a foreigner. Even toshav means, you know, a guy who's a little bit more settled, but is not really originally from this country. It's a foreigner. Right. Avraham Avinu says to the Chitim, right? Ger v'toshav ani imachem. Right? I know that I'm a stranger, I'm a foreigner. In what sense? I'm a passerby in this world. I'm a stranger in this world. I know that I'm not here for very long, and I know that sooner or later I'll be going, and I know that I'm here just for a numbered amount of time. Hosha mimeni, please remove yourself from me, Hashem. You know, stop hitting me. The avliga, and I will be healed. B'terem eilech ve'eineni, before I go, and I am no longer. That's the translation. What's going on over here? So what I would suggest, and again, this is sort of a combination of different mefarshim, is that what's being described over here is a person who is extremely sick. And the person who is extremely sick and wants to say something to the Ribbono Shel Olam, but he's so sick and tortured that he's afraid to open his mouth. Why is he afraid to open his mouth? Because he's afraid what he's going to say. He's suffering and in such pain that he's afraid if he opens his mouth and starts to talk to HaKadosh Baruch Hu,
to remove pesha from him.
Oh, all right, but that's later on, right? Let's take it one step at a time in the kapitel. The person is suffering so immensely. In fact, the person, I would suggest, knows that his days are numbered, right? In other words, the only thing that could save the person at this point is miraculous intervention. And as the person knows that, his initial thought is he doesn't want to say anything to the Ribbono Shel Olam, because I'm afraid of what's going to come out of my mouth in a moment of pain and desperation. I don't want to say the wrong thing. That's the first couple of psukim that we have here in this kapitel. Amarti eshmera d'rachai mechato v'lashoni. I said, I'm going to watch myself. I don't want to sin with my tongue. Eshmera l'fi machsom. I'm going to put a muzzle on my mouth. I'm not going to say anything. Why? Ne'lemti dumiya echeshesi mitov. I'm so quiet. I'm not even going to say good things. I don't want to talk. I'm afraid if I say something, I'm going to say the wrong thing. And rachmano litzlan, I'm going to say something I'm going to regret to the Ribbono Shel Olam. However, ukeevi ne'ekar, the pain is so intense that cham libi bekirbi, my heart is hot inside me. Bahagigiti v'areish, when I speak, I feel the fire. Dibarti bilashoni, I have to talk. Right? Those are the opening psukim of this kapitel Tehillim. I'm tortured. I'm so sick. I'm so in pain. I didn't want to speak, but I feel I have to speak. I have to talk to the Ribbono Shel Olam, because, as we know, in any kind of relationship, the worst kind of thing that you can ever have is silence. Right? I may feel pain. I may feel pained. I may feel, you know, in an incredibly difficult situation, but I don't want to be silent. I have to talk to the Ribbono Shel Olam. I have to get it off my chest. I have to relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in some way or another. And the next couple of psukim are this individual acknowledging that he knows that the end has come. Hodiyeinu Hashem kitzi. Hashem, tell me when my end is going to come. Again, that's a question any human being can ask, but it becomes a particularly poignant question when a person senses that the end is near. Edom achodel oni. Let me know how mortal I am. And tfachos nosati yomai. You made my days as numbered as handbreadths. I know that the end is coming soon. Ata in Pasuk Ches, Maki Visi, my only hope at this point, Hashem, is you. Tochalti luchohi, I'm looking towards you. And I'm going to suggest, as we're going to see in the Pesukim in a moment, the author of the Kapitel Tehillim is not suggesting that God should heal him, because he knows he's past that point. He's looking to the time after he leaves this world, and saying that I know at that point I will be with you, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's my whole focus at this point in time. Maki Visi, what's my hope in? What's Tochalti? What am I looking forward to? Lecha, I'm just looking for that time when my neshama is with you, Ribbono Shel Olam. I'm past the point of asking for a refuah. I'm past the point of asking for healing. I realize it's I'm at the end of my rope. I'm looking already into the time after I depart this world. And Ne'lam Tilo Ef, I ask you to save me from my pshaim, from my sins, right? Meaning, in these last moments, days, weeks, months, whatever it is, I want you, Hashem, to help purify me, so that when I go into the next world, it should be with a pure slate. Ne'lam Tilo Ef Tachpi, I'm so silent, I'm not going to open my mouth anymore, Ki Ato Siso, because I know that all of this comes from you, Hashem. I spoke briefly, but now I'm going to be quiet. Hoser me olai nigecha. Remove your nega, your pestilence, your sickness from me. I would suggest, based on what we're going to see in a few moments, the person is not asking to be healed entirely. The person is just asking for some of the pain to be abated.
Relief.
Right. Give me some relief, Ribbono Shel Olam. Mitigras yodcha, from the war of your hand, ani chalisi, I'm being used up. My body, again, like we said before, is like being eaten up by moths. Shimos filosi Hashem, I turn to you, Hashem, hear my tfilos. And then the last pasuk is very striking. Hoshami meni, just pull back from me, ve'avliga. The word avliga is translated by the Mefarshim as I will be healed. But if you look in a few other places in Tanakh where avliga is used, I think avliga carries the connotation of being healed temporarily. Meaning, there's another word in Hebrew that means to be healed. It's the lashon of refuah, right? It doesn't say hashami meni ve'erafei, you know, that I will be healed. That would have been the normal word. Avliga means let me just catch my breath. You know, Ribbono Shel Olam, I'm suffering with such pain. I just want to catch my breath. I'm not even asking to be healed anymore. Right? The lashon, if there's a famous pasuk in Yirmiyahu, we lay it on Tisha B'Av. Mavligisi alei yogon. Yirmiyahu Anavi is describing the destruction of the Beis Hamikdash, the first Beis Hamikdash, and he says, amidst all of the sorrow and suffering, Mavligisi, Ribbono Shel Olam, give me like a little respite. Right, you know, in that context, mavligisi, which is the same word as avligo, doesn't mean, you know, make everything go away, make everything happy again. Just give me a little breathing room, you know, within all of that which I'm suffering. And the kapitel ends in a way which I don't think we've seen any other kapitel end before. Most of the kapitlach Tehillim end on a very happy note, no matter how sorry and difficult they may be throughout the kapitel. They always end, you know, the person gets better, the person offers karbanos to the Ribbono Shel Olam, I'll praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Here the kapitel ends. B'tar me'lech ve'eneni. Just, you know, give me a little respite before I leave and I'm no more. That's what I'm saying. I think the kapitel assumes that the person who's depicted in the kapitel knows that the end is near. He doesn't harbor any illusions about what's going to be b'derech hateva from a natural perspective. But he prays to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, A, just alleviate some of my suffering, and B, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, despite everything that I'm going through, I think the key pasuk is Ches, Ma kivisi, my hope is for what's going to be afterwards, for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Tochalti l'chahi, I'm looking forward to that time where I'm going to be past all of this, and I realize that whatever a person does in this world ultimately is fleeting, because I'm at a point now where Olam Haba is getting closer and closer, and I realize that what's going on in Olam Hazeh is something ultimately that's going to pass.
Did this happen in the last Nisma that Governor Melech wrote? I mean, if he's
Oh, so let me talk about that in just a minute. On a certain level, it's a very heart wrenching kapitel Tehillim if we're correct in our interpretation of it. I mean, it's a situation that doesn't have a happy ending, and yet I think the chizuk which is supposed to come about from this kapitel Tehillim is that look, part of the human condition is people who find themselves in these situations, or people who know people who find themselves in this situation. And again, it's a heart-wrenching situation. And the kapitel gives voice to the person who's suffering in such a fashion, and also expresses on behalf of that person, you know, I'm suffering, but there's going to be an Olam Haba, there's going to be a next world, I'm going to be with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And from that vantage point, I recognize the passing and futile nature of everything that's in Olam Hazeh. The kapitel is mournful and heart-wrenching, but also gives a certain sense of chizuk, of strength, to someone going through this period of time. A, you're not alone. People throughout history have expressed these kinds of opinions, these kinds of struggles that they're dealing with. And you should know, in Olam Haba, there's a light at the end of the tunnel. The person is going to be ultimately with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that's going to be an eternity of things which are wonderful, which are good. And as the person gets past this suffering, which is metaher, which purifies the person, he or she has an eternity of being with HaKadosh Baruch Hu to look forward to. I think that's the message of this kapitel. In light of that, so let me just come back and make a suggestion. I haven't seen this anywhere, but and if you like it, you like it. If you don't like it, you don't like it. We started off the very beginning of the kapitel wondering who's Yudusun. Right? So Yudusun, again, we know from Divrei Hayomim is a Levi. Okay, good. So why is David HaMelech writing a kapitel Tehillim for Yudusun? Is it for Yudusun to sing? For his children to sing? It seems strange, we said. Perhaps Yudusun or someone in Yudusun's family experience these experiences that are being described in the kapitel Tehillim. Maybe Yudusun, at the end of his life, was on his deathbed for a certain protracted period of time where it became clear that he wasn't going to rise up from that illness. This is pure speculation. I have no basis on which to say this other than the fact that it might fit the context of the kapitel. Maybe Yudusun had a family member who was going through such throes. And maybe Yudusun and his family needed some kind of chizuk. So David HaMelech sat down and wrote a kapitel Tehillim for Yudusun to give him and his family chizuk through the trying times, you know, to reassure them that this is normal, this is natural for a person to be feeling these things, and, you know, that the person looks forward to the Olam HaEmes, to the ultimate world, you know, of truth, in which the person is going to be past all of the suffering and the vanities of this world and is going to have an eternal existence with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Perhaps that's how Yudusun comes in over here. The kids are, it's on a certain level, it's a very sad kapitel Tehillim. On another level, it's reassuring because it gives us that sense of emunah and bitachon, that even someone who's going through the trials and tribulations of this kapitel Tehillim is still able to articulate the emunah and bitachon. That's why we have Tehillim, you know, to be able to get us through the times that are difficult. So we should be zocher. So we're coming out of the month of Nisan, a month of Yeshua's, a month which is a month associated with Geula, with good things. That the kapitel should be something that should give us chizuk to be able to see Geulas and Yeshua's in the time going forward. Yeah.
That would be referring to the
Tzemach. Right. So one, the different ways to interpret it. One way to interpret it is: here's this person at death's door, lying on his deathbed, and the Rishoim hate him. You know, his enemies hate him so much, they're waiting for him to open his mouth and say some kind of kfira as he's lying there. So he says, I don't want to say anything, Ba'od Rasha L'Negdi, because, you know, the nature of Rishoyim is, you know, even this poor person is at death's door, they're waiting, like vultures, you know, but unfortunately, it's not so unrealistic. You know, they're waiting to pounce on him, and to use, you know, anything that might come out of his mouth. Oh, you see, he's not such a good guy. You see, you know, that's what he had to say in this time of need.
There are two things here.
Yeah.
You know? He knows that he's at the end of his life.
Mm-hmm.
Kaser me'alai negecha.
The way I understand it, again, I may be wrong, but the way I understand it is take away from me the pain. Take the pain away from me.
If he's at the end of his life, he shouldn't worry about his pain.
He doesn't want pain. I mean, that he doesn't want.
Every minute.
I know I'm leaving, but I don't want the pain. You know, that's I think a reasonable right. It's a reasonable thing for him to ask for. I'm sorry. I didn't write it. I just got up to it.
What about painkillers?
Okay. They didn't have painkillers. Schnapps. That was about, I think, the extent of it. Yeah.
Well, that would do it. That would
say. What's that?
Did he write any capitals that were happy?
Yeah. Most of them, even the ones that talk about people who are sick, end up on a happy note. This is one of the few that really does not end with a happy note, because it's important for us to have capitulos tillam like that also. Not everything always ends, you know, on such a happy note that we know from life. Bez Hashem, next week we will be offered the Yom HaSmut celebration for those who are at the Mizrahi who want to attend next week already. So we will resume in 2 weeks from now, I believe, on the calendar. That is the 12th. It's going to be late.
9 o'clock?
Yeah. I don't know exactly, probably about 10 to 9, so I'm going to figure out how we're going
to
do this exactly. Yeah. Well, it's not quarter to 9 today.
I don't think I'll do it before 9.
What's that? Yeah, okay, let's see. I mean,
how many more classes will we have?
I don't know. If it gets later and later, I don't know. So what I really like to do, the MS is I would like to finish Mem and Mem Aleph, and that will bring us to the end of Sefer Risha, the first, you know, so that those two kapitlach for sure I'd like to try to do between now and whenever we stop for the two more kapitlach Tehillim. Right. So we could do more than that also, but Chatz too, I'd like to try to get it.
Whatever you do.